This is about the use of the Data Manager website. And if you have a computer with you, a laptop, and if you are the registered user for your school, you can feel free to log in and have your laptop open while we go through this. But Data Manager is a website maintained not by the AACS, but it is maintained by the test publisher. And so let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started about this session. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your love to us and for this opportunity to gather together in the cause of Christian education. Bless during this session. May things be clear. It may be a help to those involved. In Jesus' name, amen. The AACS testing program has two options about getting reports. One is that you can use the Data Manager website and print your own reports. Or the other option is you can pay us extra and we will use the Data Manager website to print your reports and mail them to you. Now, as it turns out, about two-thirds of our school choose the first option up there. They test their students during the test window. They mail their answer documents to our office in Chattanooga. We scan them, upload the data to the Data Manager website, and then within a day or two, schools then can log in to the Data Manager website. And obviously, you need a username and a password to log in, and then you can print the reports. Typically, using Data Manager costs extra if you dealt directly with the test company, but it's a part of our program, so there is no extra fee involved other than buying the materials and the per student fee for scoring. About two-thirds of our schools print their own reports. The other third, and I can understand, it's the end of the school year, you have all those things going on, and printing test results is just one extra thing, and for a few dollars extra, we'll let the AACS do it and print them, and we'll send them to you. It takes longer because then we have to print them and then we ship them to you, and depending on how big of a pile of test papers there are, it may be through UPS or through the post office, so it takes a little bit longer for the results to come to you. And it costs anywhere from $2 to $3, maybe $4 extra per student, depending on what reports you want us to print. And we have certain package deals. But about two-thirds of our school print their own, about a third pay extra, and we print them here in our office. It's an easy-to-use interface. And that second bullet point says you can't break it or mess it up. And I'm thinking about perhaps I should take that off the side because this past summer I did find a way that somebody, if they really wanted to, could perhaps mess things up. But, and I'm not telling you how to do that. So for the most part though, you can't like push your delete button and accidentally delete all your students from the Data Manager site. It's just not that way. A common problem I get a call and somebody is saying, I'm ready to print my reports off and I can't see them anywhere. So, okay, and I know exactly what the situation is. And you're on the AACS website, aren't you? Yes, and I can't see, well, that's the problem. It's the AACS website is not the Data Manager website. So you have to go to the RiversideDataManager.com, which is a mouthful, and then log in there. You can get information about it at the AACS website, but you have to go to the right site. And the site was redesigned this past July, and they are going to do some further tweaks to the system next summer. It's a bit more user-friendly than what it used to be, and I'm glad for that. You still have to log in and so forth, but it does look a little bit different. This is the web address. Riverside is the name of the company, and so that's where that comes in. And again, this is not an AACS website. This is maintained up by the test publisher. When you go there, this is what it looks like. You log in. Notice that you log in with an email address. And that typically will be the email address of whoever the, either the, it could be the administrator or the person in charge of the testing at your school. And what happens very frequently is that back in year one of the test program, whosever name was on that first order form as the test coordinator, that's the name that I added to data manager for that school. And I don't call every school up every year and ask, is that person still doing it? Who, I mean, it's up to the schools to, and so I don't change it unless I'm asked to. And very frequently, it happens, people leave or maybe they change positions. I called one school up at one time because I needed to speak with their test coordinator. A man answered the phone and I said, may I speak with Mrs. So-and-so? And the man starts crying. The person I was asking for had passed away that morning. And I just didn't know what to say. So it was a very awkward thing. But okay. And so if there needs to be a change, let me know, and we can certainly change that. But once you click on the log, the password is not something that I set up. Once I set up the person with an email address, that person gets a, that person will get an email sent to them with instructions about how to set up the password. I do not have access to data manager passwords. It's something that you would have to do at the school. Once you log in, it looks like this. You click on sign in. And you come to the opening page. And this opening page, if you look on the screen, over in this section, there'll be different announcements that the data manager people will put up, Riverside put up. This is about these announcements up here will be about the whole Riverside program. Much of what gets put up here as an announcement or an update, it says what's new, much of that does not pertain to the AACS program. Because all we use is the Iowa and the COGAT. We don't use the other test. And these announcements are really written from the perspective that the school is dealing directly with the test company, not to us. Okay. All right. There we go. All right, that sounds better. And so if you really want to know about the specifics of the AACS test program, go to the AACS site, log in with your school password, and then click on the achievement test tab. If you want to know about general things about Riverside or the Iowa, you can go there, but it's written from the perspective that you're dealing with them directly, which really is not the case. Most people will go to the data manager website because they want to print reports, and that would be a good place to click right there. Or you can scroll down the page and it says go to reports there. And after you click on that and you go to reports, this is the page that you're at. Now it will not say generating reports up there, that's just the heading for the slide. But there are three tabs, create a report, saved criteria, and report library. It used to be called library center, but you have three different tabs up here. Now, the report library is where your reports will show up after they've been generated. But if you want to go to Data Manager, log in, you want to click on go to reports, here, and you want to create a report, and then you go down. And before I go into the specifics about this, let me mention that the report that you get with the scores and the results, and you're looking forward to it, it's only as good or valid as the information that was put on the answer folder. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Last summer, I got a call from a school, and it was a junior high boy. His scores the previous year were so good. His scores this year were so bad. And they assumed that it wasn't scanned properly, the test is improperly written, there's an issue, and if it's an issue for this student, it could be an issue for all the 50-some thousand students, and they were all in a flutter. Well, I said, let me check it out, because I had a hunch of what the problem was. And we hadn't yet shredded all the answer documents. We just don't have enough shelf space to keep answer documents from year to year. So I knew exactly what shelf and what pile, and I got that boy's answer document. And for four of the tests, he had used the number one pencil instead of a number two pencil. So he answered the questions, but there wasn't enough graphite on the answer folder. And so when that answer folder was scanned, all those answers, it was the same thing as he left them blank. And if you do that, that kind of affects your score, because it looks like you're missing it all. And so what I was able to do, I was able to manually change what looked like no answer over to the answer that he clearly had chosen, and redone the reports, and you know his scores went up. But really, it's really contingent on the person that is administering the test to make sure the test are completed by the students in the way that they're, in the standardized way that they're supposed to, using not an ink pen or a number one, but using a number two, the old fashioned number two pencil, filled in, not, you know, really covered with graphite and then it smears all over the place. And because you want data that is meaningful, not that it's skewed because the test wasn't taken the right way. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so be aware of that. And so, but this is how you start reports. You have these different lines, and I know you can't see it here, but can you see it on your handout? Okay, you logged in?
Yes, sir.
Good. And so it's like a menu. You start at the top, and you work your way down. And as you work your way down, once you make your selections over here, it may change everything below that. For example, what's the first line that you have to choose? What's that line there? You can't read that. Look on your handout.
Assessment.
The assessment. You want reports. Okay, do you want Iowa or COGAT? Now, each of these lines has a default. The blank is filled out, and Iowa is the default answer. But if you want to print your COGAT responses, you just click on Iowa, and a little pop-up window will come up, and it'll say Iowa, which is the default that's already selected for you, or you can change it to COGAT. Okay? So you choose which test you want the results first. What's the next line? The test date. Now, the most recent test date for your school will be the default in there. But maybe you want results from 3 years ago or last year. You just click on that, the pop-up window will come up, and if you picked Iowa up here, then every test date that you at your school tested Iowa will be showing in that pop-up window, and you choose which one you want. But if you want the most recent, which is probably the most logical choice, it's already chosen for you. Once the results are in Data Manager, they will stay in Data Manager, and you can retrieve them from prior years. Now, we only have 4 years of data right now. None of the Pearson stuff got carried over, so we just had the 4 years. Okay, what's the next line?
Report type.
And you picked your test, you picked your date, and now you want to pick what type of report. For whatever reason, they have group profile as the default report type. But you can click on group profile, the pop-up window comes up, and you have the other reports. You just scroll down and pick the one that you want. And you may say, well, I don't know what I want. Well, why are you printing the report? Is this a report that you're going to send home to parents? Well, if that's the case, you want the report that shows one student per page. And there's only a couple of those. If you want a report, you don't care about the students, I want just an average report for each of our grade levels. That probably would be the group profile. But there's different ones. Up over on the AACS website, we have pictures of what some of these sample reports might look like. Or just go through in the summer when you have nothing to do and you want to play around with Data Manager, go through and just do one of these, each reports, see what they look like. What's the next line? Which grade level do you want to appear in your report? All of them? Only kindergarten? Now, the default here will be the youngest grade that you tested in the year that you selected. And do you test kindergarten students? Most of our schools do. And so that would be the, but it may say first if that was the youngest grade. And you can, now, depending on the kind of report that you're running, you may have to run the report one grade at a time. Some reports will allow you to select all grades and you can choose do it that way. But it really depends on what report that you're running. What's the next one? Yes, the test and composite, or you can click on the, and there may, I think there's only one other choice there. You can break it down to the skill level. So each of these questions that you're choosing your template for the report is getting a little bit more specific. Start at the top, work your way down, and then once you get to the very bottom, and you've made all your selections, and you can just barely see it on the screen of the handout, you can choose to run the report. Sometimes it will say run, sometimes it will say run in background. Run in background will allow you to use your device for something else while your report is running. In most cases, it will take just a few seconds for the report to process. This is not an all-day type of thing. Now, if I'm running a very detailed report, ladies, I think there's some extra handouts right over here, okay. When I'm running some very detailed reports for all grade levels, for all schools, I've run some reports that take like all morning long, you know, several hours to generate. But if you're dealing with just a few grade levels or even your whole school, depending on the size of your school, it will not take long at all for your report to process. You click there in the lower right, run the report, and then, I keep wanting to click on the screen, and then after it's processing, where do you go to get the report? Well, this was the screen that we were on first on the Create a Report page, right? But now it's over here, your report will show up in what's called the report library. It used to be called the report center, but now it's called the report library. And they're listed there. Now notice on the screen, there are about 7 or 8 different reports showing. Notice that they're all in a PDF format. They all have the name of the report listed. They all have the date that the report was generated. The most recently run report will be at the top of the list, and the report will stay there, look closely, for how many days? 5 days. What happens to it after 5 days? The report goes away. You can always rerun it, but the reason for that is that if the system was not set up to purge itself like that, over the weeks and months and years of running reports, you'd have an awfully long list of reports there. And so to save you from having to go through to find, it just purges itself after 5 days. In the spring, when I'm running reports for lots of schools, I have a pretty long list there. But the most recent one is at the top, and then after that, they will be purged. Now, once you see your report there, oh, and notice these three little tabs here. Completed, pending, okay, pending, running, and completed. You want it to show up under the completed tab where all these are. If you go to the report center and your report is not there, check the running tab to see if it's running. And I've been known to click back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, waiting for it to show up under the completed tab. Once it's there and you're going to click on the report, you open it up and here's a report. Once the report is showing on your screen, like say this one was, this is a list of student scores report. Because it's a list of your students with their scores, it's typically alphabetical by grade level. Once it's showing up on your screen as a PDF, you can right-click your mouse, and this little window pops up, and you can print it from there. Or notice what's above the word print.
Save as.
Save as. So you can save that report to your computer. You can, maybe on your school server, you can create a folder called Achievement Test Results, a folder underneath that for each school year, maybe a folder underneath that, Iowa COGAT, and if you want, you can file these reports there. Okay, you don't always have to keep paper for it. What about those labels? Do you put stickers on individual? Okay, I'll go on then because that's always an issue for some schools because we've always done it that way, using the labels. You can print the report or save it. Now, if you're going to print it, change the settings on your printer so it's not two-sided unless you want it to. If you're printing a report of one student per page, you don't want to do it two-sided because one student's report will be on the back of the other student report. Now, I will admit that the reports, and this is a good example of one here, they're not the most flashy. If you think back of the paper reports that we all got from Pearson, they were colorful, perhaps too much, perhaps, but at least they looked nicer, I think. But these, there's no color involved, although black and gray are colors too, aren't they? But other than that, there's not. This is a list of student scores report. These are other sample reports that you can print. Some reports are individual reports. Other reports are group reports. Those are the main differences between the two. An individual report would be about one student, like this report, the student profile narrative. And for many years, this was pretty much the only option that you had if you wanted to print a report that was being sent home to the parents. You would choose the grade levels, you choose the scores, and you had narrative. That's where the narrative comes in over here. And now, can you read that line on the lower left on the handout? It's very small. I don't know if you can. But it's an important line because you know what the message is there for parents? It says if you have questions, see your child's teacher or ask your child's teacher. That means your child's teacher should know something about the report that's being passed. And so if the parents get the report and they see if there's any questions, call your teacher. So they call the teacher and the teacher, I don't know what's going on. It doesn't give a good impression is what I'm saying. So if you're as a school, if you're going to send the results home to parents, you might want to let the teachers know about it and maybe let them see what parents are getting and what they might have to answer for. Keep them in the loop. But this is a student profile narrative. Now, on this particular report, it looks like one score is missing. Now, on your handout, what's the heading of what looks like the missing score? We need magnifying glasses, don't we? Should say right at the top, right there. Is it PNPR? Does that look right? Because what that is the predicted national percentile score. And it took me into the second year of the testing program to figure out what that was. Here's what it means. If your students take the COGAT test, which tells how they learn, then on the Iowa test results, the program has set up to take their COGAT information and predict how they will do on the Iowa. And if there is that COGAT score, there will be a predicted percentile score right here, in addition to their actual percentile score. Now, here's where that's helpful. What if the predicted percentile score is 83, but their actual percentile score in the Iowa is 70? It was predicted based on how they learned that it would be 83, but the actual was only 70. Can you interpret that anyway? Maybe Junior's not trying hard. Now, if it's the other way around, it was predicted that he would get a 70th percentile, but he actually got an 83. That's pretty good. And it shows you that he's doing better than expected. And so, now, you only get that if they took the COGAT test. If there was no COGAT score in the same year as the Iowa test, the program is designed to search out that student from the previous year and look for a COGAT score and use that for the prediction. So it needs to know who that student was in the prior year, right? That's why those ever popular student ID numbers come in handy that you never had to worry about before, okay? It just can't go by their name, because your Johnny Smith might match up with 10 other Johnny Smiths that are in the 51,000 student mix. So every student in your school needs a unique 10-digit number. And the first six digits of that 10-digit number will match up with your school's ID number. And then the remaining four digits you assign. And don't use their social security number. Don't even use their birthday. Because do you have students in your school that might have the same birthday? Yeah, so you don't want to use that. So my suggestion has always been the first student gets 0001 as the last four, and then two, and then three. And you're making a list. I like Excel spreadsheets, so that's where I would keep my list and go. And you may use a student database, RenWeb or something, and they use student numbers for that, and that's fine. Don't use those numbers for this. Use a 10-digit number where this first six refer to your school's ID number, and then you come up with a simple system for the remaining four. But all that to say is the predicted national percentile score is a very useful score because it will match ability versus actual achievement. But you won't get that if you don't use the COGAT test. A group score could be a summary of the group. It could be a roster where it lists individual members. This particular one breaks it down to the skill level. And again, these are all different types of reports that are easily produced on the data manager. Now, last year there were two new reports that were added. And I found that whenever Riverside adds a report, it always, when you have that report type drop-down window, the newest reports are always at the bottom of the list for whatever reason. But here's a group analysis report, and it lists individual questions, and this is an actual student. I blacked out the name of the student up there in the school, and it will show anything to the right of this line, meaning that student did better than the average bear, I almost said, but better than the averages, or to the left of that line, not so much. Question by question. And that's helpful. What I find is even more helpful is the item response record form. Look at this one. This is an actual report, item analysis report. I blacked out the students' names in the school and everything to protect the innocent. But it lists the question, and it lists if they got it right or not, every student. Now, if they got it right, see each of these columns is a question, and it has the question number there. Each column is a question. And you may say, well, wait a second. Some of those columns, like this first student, there's nothing there. That's good. A blank spot means they got it right. So this first student, whoever he was, or she got the first one right. But if the student missed it, the letter of the incorrect answer is put in there. So she missed that one, and she put, I think that's an M, right? It's, I feel like I'm at the optometrist office. And can you read that letter? This is L, and so forth. All right? So you can see all the letters. Now, I don't know who this guy is here, but notice him. He has a letter in almost every column, doesn't he? That means he missed on this page almost every question. Look at that bottom one. Because every spot where there's a letter, that means that's the letter that he put and it's an incorrect answer. Another way to look at it is look at a specific question. Now look at that question. Let's say it's question number 12. Most of the students on that list missed that question. And not only that, but what else can you tell? Most of them missed it and they put the same wrong answer. Now, if I was reviewing information, I would want to know, and I'll say this very carefully, what skill was that question testing that not only did all of my students, or most of them, miss it, but they all consistently missed it the same way? Well, one place to go would be to look up that question. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But you can go to the Supplemental Content Classification Guide document, which is over on the AACS website. And you can look up and see what was that question testing. Is it appropriate to get out the test booklet and to look to see what the question was? And tell the teacher what the question was. And tell her, next time you do this, make sure that they know. No, that's crossed the boundaries right there. But it is appropriate to use some of the resources to see what skill was that question testing that my students actually, they're not getting it correctly. They're missing it some way. And so in a supervised setting, a teacher, maybe with the, or maybe the school administrator, whoever at your school, it would be appropriate to look to see what the skill was for that question, because I would want to know. I mean, this is an actual class of students, and whatever that question was, they all put the same, most of them put the same wrong answer. And maybe the teacher was using a term that was not used by the test. She calls it this, the test calls it that, and it messed up this. I don't know. There's a lot of different possibilities. But the idea is that you're getting data from Data Manager about the testing program so you can look and see the strengths and weaknesses at your school, because the end result for this is not just to get paper that you send home to parents and you put the results in a file cabinet, close the file cabinet, and you feel, I've done my job. No, you want this information because ultimately you want the instruction in your classroom to be improved. And that's my goal for our AACS schools, to use this testing program to get information, not just to go around and pat ourselves on the back saying, we're better than the public school. You know, I'm not sure that's a reason to exist, to be better than them. We want them to be the most Christ-like. There's a whole spiritual side, but these are schools also. And we want them to be educated. We want them to be able to think. We want them to read God's word, and not just read, but reason and think and to understand. God made us to be reasoning beings. When Adam had to name all those animals, he had to reason and to come up with names and everything and think and use logic. And all that can be measured, and it all can be tested, and it all can be improved. And these are some ways to do it. There's many different types of reports. And this slide was in the morning presentation. You can analyze a grade level at your school, and you can, and this report, a longitudinal line graph report, has data for up to 5 years. There's only three showing on this. And these are grade equivalent scores. And it's in fifth grade, this year in fifth grade, our fifth graders were there. The next year, our fifth graders were there. Different students, but same grade level. Next year, our fifth graders were there. Pretty constant. Same teacher, same way of instructing, same stuff being taught. You know, same everything you expected. Now, on the handout that you had, does it look like there's a light gray line underneath that black line or above that line? That's not a typo or a misprint. That light gray line is the national average of where the a grade equivalent score would be. The black line is where that particular group is. You can also run this report in a different way by changing just one little click. And here you have, this is how they were in one grade level, and then the next grade level. Same students now as they move up a grade. You would expect their grade equivalent scores to be going up slightly. If you run this report this way, and the line is going down, that's what we call in the education circles a red flag. And so that's a big thing. Grade equivalent scores should be going up each year, not going down. And or not staying the same. So you could do this with a group of students or an individual student. So you can track how they're going from grade to grade. And you could run this little graph by each of the different tests, or you could change the setting and just focus on the composite score if you wanted to do it that way. It really depends. Data Manager include, it's a free resource. You don't pay extra for it. You can have the content classification guide, which is one document. There's all kinds of helps. If you are really into what type of study did the Riverside people do to determine the students that were in the normed group? Because when you take the test, you're comparing your students to that representative sample of students, which currently is 2011. And there's a whole document of how they chose schools to be in that representative sample. It's kind of technical, but it's there. The directions booklets, COGAT practice tests, all of that information is there on the Data Manager website. Where do you find it? Two places. After you log in, it says resources up there or resources here. You click there and you have these different PDFs that will be listed here. They put the directions for administration booklets in a little bit of a different place. You have to click on the administration tab down here and then click on the second heading where it says download directions for administration. Most schools just buy them from our office. Let's briefly go over the cognitive abilities tests. The Iowa measures what the students have learned. The COGAT test measures how the students learn. And as a teacher, is it helpful to you to know how your students learn? It should be. I mean, you might even consider varying your teacher instruction methods based on how your students learn. Okay, but you don't know that unless you find out. It's not an IQ test. IQ tests are typically administered by trained psychiatrists on a one-on-one setting. These ability tests, like the old Otis Lennon under Pearson, or this one under with the Iowa, the cognitive ability test, they measure some of that, but it really measures how students reason. And they do that by getting a score. Now, do you use COGAT tests? Raise your hand if you know your school does use them. Okay. You know, first of all, the difference is the COGAT is a much smaller test. It doesn't take as much time to administer. Each of the COGAT test booklets have three areas in them. And you know what they are, right? There's verbal, nonverbal, and quantitative. Each test will have the questions in those three types. Verbal type questions, nonverbal, and quantitative. And what you want to come up, and you can get scores in each of those, but you have a what's called a COGAT ability profile. It will take a it will assign a profile score to a student based on the scores that they got in those three areas. For example, of those three scores, if they're all about the same, verbal, nonverbal, and quantitative, if all three scores are about the same, then that student is considered to have an A profile. If one of the three scores is above or below the other two, then it's a B profile. If it's above, then they have a relative strength in that area. If it's below, it's a weakness. If there are two scores that are really different from each other, that's a contrast, that's a C profile. And they didn't have a D, so they went right to E. And if the two scores are really an extreme difference, their verbal score is very high, their quantitative score is very low, the nonverbal is somewhere in the middle, then they have an E. So you take that score, and here's a sample score. It will look something like this. Let's say that this student gets a ability profile score from COGAT, and their profile score is 7C, V plus, Q minus. Now hopefully you can figure out what that means. The 7 is a Stay 9 score. If you take all three of their tests together, a Stay 9 score is a number from 1 to 9. 1 is low, 9 is high, 5's in the middle. This person got a 7. And then it was a C based on that. Two of their scores were contrasting. And their verbal score was a strength, and their quantitative score was a minus. Did I completely lose you on that? So you take the COGAT test, and you get their scores, but it also gives you a profile score for that student. Then you go to this website up here, COGAT.com. This is a second website maintained by the test publisher. Data Manager is one. This is another one. The big difference is there is no password for COGAT.com. There is no username. There is no fee. There's no login. You just type that in, and this is what the page will look like. And if you know you don't put in a name, you can tell your parents about this site, and they can use it. Teachers can use it. All you need to know is the profile of the student that you want information about. And if you print your COGAT reports that you send home to parents with the Iowa, the profile score is listed right in there. And this web address is listed right there as well. So you go here, Stay 9. Well, that would be the 7. So you click there, the drop-down window, you choose the 7. Over here, you pick the C in the drop-down. Then the V plus, and then you click. And once you've entered that profile score, the website will give you information about a student with this profile learns this way. And here are some specific and general instructional strategies for students that have this type of learning. So it's a tremendous tool. My guess is it's not known about a lot, and it's probably overlooked, but it's perfectly fine for you to promote this when you're with your staff. It's perfectly fine to let your parents know about this. When you send home testing results, Iowa and COGAT, my suggestion is to include a cover letter with that. Attach, dear parents, thank you for the opportunity for having your students in our school. As you know, last spring, we set aside a special week where we tested our students using the Iowa assessment and the COGAT ability test. Enclosed are the results for your child. If you have any questions, let us know. As a resource, you might want to look here. Here's what the scores mean. Here's how this is why we test, and this is what we're going to do. As a staff, we're going to look at the strengths and weaknesses of our school, and each year we focus on one weakness, and we try to work to make the education from your for your child even greater than it already is, and so forth. But you should have some type of a cover letter that goes along with your testing information. And you could mention the COGAT profile system as well. That's a lot of information that we've gone over. And hopefully you'll find that the Data Manager website is easy to use. If you ever have a question, logging in, or maybe the person that is the registered user at your school is no longer there, give me a call, and what I'll do is I will get on Data Manager at my end of the call, and you'll try to get on at your end, and I'll walk you through the steps. And once you log in, I do this all the time. So, okay, click here now. Now you're logged in. Let me show you where to go. And basically, I go through this situation right here. Any specific questions about it? You need to, the information from the reports will be more helpful if the information on the report is an accurate picture of your students. And it won't be if the tests were not administered the way that they're supposed to be. And so make sure that somebody trains your teachers and how to, really the only thing the teacher is supposed to say during the administration of the test is whatever's in that booklet. It will say this, and it will have everything written down. Teachers are not supposed to ad lib and add the thing. Oh, come on, honey. Now, did you mean to put that one? You better read that one over again. No. They're supposed to only say what is printed in the booklet. Are time limits meant to be followed? I got to get out of that. That's just a suggestion, right? No, it's a standardized test. Now, the younger grades, it may take, because the teacher has to read through most of the questions. And if you're a slow reading through the questions or a fast, it varies. But if it's a timed test, you need to do that. Now, you can print some of these reports and compare your students to other students in the AACS. I don't think I mentioned that. When you have this score options for your report, you're choosing which score to show up on your report. Probably at the bottom of the list it says local norms or local percentile score, local state nine score. That word local refers to the local school district. And Riverside treats all of our AACS schools like we're in one great big happy school district. Which of course we are, right? Right. And so you can compare the scores on your test will compare to the national norms, but you also, which is 2011, but you also can have a report that compares your students to other students in the AACS that tested in the same testing year as yours. They're both options. Okay? I'll stick around. There's another session coming up, but thank you for coming. Let me know if you have questions.